Hello, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved a libido-enhancing drug for women that has been dubbed the female Viagra. It's not, of course. The technical name for it is flibanserin, a drug produced by Sprout Pharmaceuticals and marketed as Aggie. Unlike Viagra, which affects blood flow to the genitals, Aggie is designed to help women regain their sex drive by boosting levels of brain chemicals. The new drug label will carry a bold warning, however, that combining it with alcohol can cause dangerously low blood pressure and fainting. Those problems can also occur if the drug is taken alongside certain common medications. What do you think of the FDA approval? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, let me just tell you the way this all came about. This morning, we had tons and tons of messages about this, and a lot of people were interested in it, wanted to get involved. We didn't have a chance to begin to have a chance to read everything that came in, so we decided we would do this. Well, our wonderful producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, got on the phone, called the Albany Medical College, called the Albany Pharmaceutical Places, College of Pharmacy, and we just couldn't find a qualified person who was willing to come in and talk about it. And so it really is just me and you out there. So if, you know, we can sit here and whistle, or people can get on the phones, which I'm asking you to do, and tell me what you're thinking. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I really want to hear from you. And to put it differently, I need you. We'll go to Bonnie in Sharon. Bonnie, thanks for calling. You'll probably be the co-host here. Go ahead.
Not hardly. Thank you, doctor. I overheard on BBC this overnight how this came to be as a medicine for this particular situation to begin with, in that the pharmaceutical company was initially testing it for depression.
Oh, interesting.
Was getting, it was not doing all that well with depression, but in the feedback from the women in the testing, that's where they got the heads up that, oh, by the way, I noticed this effect after like two or some odd weeks being on the medication, because you have to be on it that long and have to take it daily.
Wow.
To even have that sort of effect. And so they, like, you know, apparently had a powwow in their corporate headquarters and said,
hey,
this is great. And they basically reconfigured it. But then what they did was they pitched it using a PR firm to various elected women representatives in our country to the effect of, well, the FDA isn't accepting it because it got rejected a couple of times by that point. The FDA isn't accepting it because they are sexist. And so some very influential women, I don't call them gullible. I think they genuinely bought the issue.
Do we know who they were, by the way?
I'm not aware because it was not in the BBC
the
report.
Piece. Right, okay.
But I'm sure it's on record. Went to bat for it. And they were the ones that pushed FDA to reconsider it a third time and essentially started their own grassroots, but was kind of a faux grassroots movement in a feminist context, because not unlike other faux grass movements we've heard of.
Yeah.
So that puts a different cast on this altogether. Plus, the results from the original testing was that this was not a great impact. Nowhere's near the female equivalent of a four-hour erection. It was a mild improvement.
Yeah.
And, you know, run that risk by the other possibility that, oh, by the way, you could faint really suddenly, which if you're driving is not good.
No.
So, you know, like, in terms of, like, serious side effects,
By the way, that's a great call. And as I pointed out this morning, you never know about the side effects until a million people take it. You know,
yeah,
we have all these wonderful drugs.
Like being their guinea pig, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, there's always the FDA tests, and then they say these are the side effects we found. Then you put the purple pill on the market or something like that, and then you find out that there are complications, because every doctor I've ever gone to has always said the same thing. Every drug has side effects, every single drug.
Even water to excess has side effects.
Right. And now especially in New York City. So anyway, Bonnie, that was a great call, and you really are a fountain of information on this, and I want to thank you for helping me out in my time.
Look, I listen to BBC on your station.
On our station, you mean?
Well,
on our station, yours and mine. Just take the Y off of it.
Okay.
So, Bonnie, that was a great call. I really do mean it, and thank you so much for making it. Appreciate it. You're welcome. Yep.
Bye.
Okay, we'll go to Matt in Hanacroy. Okay, Matt, you're on.
How are you, Alan?
Oh, you know, I'm a little scared. I need all the help I can get here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid for the most part, Bonnie beat me to the punch. She's a quick draw. I was on my way home from work last night and listened to a similar story from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation on As It Happens, just about the process by which this had become legalized, how it was refused once, refused twice, and the third time they went for the ladies, by lobbying feminist groups and essentially getting a social push behind it to get pressure on the FDA to authorize it, regardless of the size of the warning label. I mean, it's just kind of a head scratcher because, initially, as I understand it, this thing started out as an antidepressant and it didn't do that very well, but it had the side effect of sometimes increasing libido. So rather than scrap the project, I think the manufacturer just decided, hey, let's use a hammer as a screwdriver in this point and try to get some value out of what they put money into developing, which is sad, and it's scary.
As I said this morning, to the great consternation of my colleagues, it's all about money. It's always all about money.
Hey, it is.
Thank you so much, Matt. Great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And we will go to Eve in Rexford, where everybody's a king. Okay, Eve, you're on.
Hi, I called up because I'm a chemistry professor. I was retired, and I talked a lot and did discussions on big pharma and so forth.
Sure.
So I've been interested in this for a long time. And furthermore, I've been on antidepressants for 20 years. Recently, there have been articles about how people using selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, of which I believe this medicine is one.
And so are the brand names. Some of the brand names of those are?
Oh, Paxil, Zoloft.
Okay, great.
I might be able to come up with a couple more.
No, that's fine.
Like the name implies, they change of the way that your impulses are transmitted in your brain. And the way they do that is that they allow the transmitting molecule to stay in that gap, and then there's a receptor, so the receptor has more transmission happening.
Now, what gap are you talking about? Stay in the gap.
Gap between two nerves.
Okay,
so when
great.
You have a nerve transmission, you have to have something that goes from one nerve to the other nerve, and there's a molecule that comes out of one nerve and then goes into the other. And what those medicines do is that they trap the molecule in the gap there so that there's more transmission.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is that in all biological systems, there's biofeedback. So if some level of a molecule goes up, then often the activity of the receiving site goes down. And they've now found that it becomes very, very difficult for people to get away from these medicines once they've been taking them because their whole brain architecture has changed.
Mm.
And I would love to not be taking this medicine anymore, but every time I've tried to stop taking it, it's just a disaster. I've tried tapering off very, very carefully and so forth. And since there are now more articles about this difficulty, and furthermore that once you have taken some antidepressants, if you stop them, then they are no longer effective. It's a real gamble, and I think that just for the purpose of improving your sexuality, I'd first go to a therapist. I would try the marijuana method. I would do just about anything other than take this powerful type of medicine that really changes your brain, and it, you know, it's, I don't think it's worth it.
Well, Eve, that's a very important phone call, and I have nothing but respect for you for having made it. I appreciate it very much. So thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Sure.
We're going to take a short break, but if your name happens to be Beryl or Betsy or anybody else, you come right out and call us. We have three free phones. It's a great time to call. We'll be back in seconds. 1-800-348-2551.
He comes from Lori Ilvesacker, Coldwell Banker Village Green Realty, Woodstock, a professional realtor with 30 years of experience specializing in the greater Woodstock area home market and in finding acreage for building new. 845-901-6129. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com. United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Live United, Give, Advocate, Volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire. Offering We Plan, You Plant design service in addition to tree and shrub installation, privacy hedges, perennial gardens, and lawns, featuring a selection of nursery stock on site. Whitney'sFarm.com. The 1850 House and Tavern, a historic boutique bed and breakfast on the banks of the Roundout River for weekend getaways, retreats, and weddings. Main Street, Rosendale, New York. The1850house.com. And Pave Tile, Wood, and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online. PAVETile.com.
And we are back. Thank you so much. There's one free phone open, but in the meantime, if you want to get it to us, and 1.5 phones were ringing, then the way to do that is to just, signal us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. All five phones are ringing right now. We'll go to Beryl in my hometown, Great Barrington. Beryl, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Thanks so much for taking this call, and thanks to all the contributors, the callers who have contributed so much great information.
You bet.
I am like totally in support of the last caller who talked about the brain chemistry, and I think the FDA has been pressured into pushing this drug through because of the general clamor from women for equal rights. But I think the side effects are way too extreme, way too dangerous to be acceptable by any of us, and I have to agree that there are a lot of other ways to go about this. We're already such a drug-dependent culture for everything, from depression to anxiety to panic attacks, and I would suggest yoga and breathing and visualization and any number of methods that have no side effects, as opposed to taking this drug. I certainly wouldn't recommend this at this point to any woman I know to increase her libido.
Beryl, thank you for the call. I'm just going to try to get to everybody. I hope you understand, but it's a great great point you're making. Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks, Alan.
We've got a Betsy in Hudson. Betsy in Hudson, you're on.
Yes, I'm calling to point out something that you said that if I heard it correctly, it was an incorrect statement.
Right.
And that was about the FDA testing the drugs and, and then we find out more side effects later.
Yes, we do.
I know we do, but the thing is that unless things have changed in the last couple of decades, the FDA doesn't do the testing.
Right.
It's the company that stands to profit from the drug that does the testing, and they can present whichever results they want.
I stand corrected. You're absolutely right, but it's the FDA that has to, and
they do the approval. I think that it's worthwhile to know that the data that they are receiving is being sent by the the interested party that stands to make profit.
Yeah, but of course, Betsy, as you know, they frequently turn drugs down based on the information that they've gotten. So they've got to have some experts of their own who have to evaluate what the drug companies are handing them, right?
Well, unless, let's say you test something on mice and rats and rabbits, and the mice and rats get headaches or hypertension, and the rabbits all die, and then you just give the FDA the mice and rat tests, and you don't mention the other ones.
I gotcha. Okay, listen, that's a very good point. We thank you for making it.
Okay.
Bye.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Ron in Colony. This now there are two free phones open, 1-800-348-2551. Ron in Colony, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Just to add on to what that lady that was just on said, she's absolutely correct. And a drug company will normally move that testing of the drug to maybe a college, and they'll say, we want this result. They can test that myriad of ways, possibly 100 ways, and come back with 98 didn't do it, 2 that kind of did it. They write that up with those 2 ways, and they can submit that for approval.
Yeah.
The drug company's only interest is to make money.
Absolutely.
And to keep people alive until their liver cannot detoxify these drugs. I don't mean the drug that we're talking about today. All drugs.
Well, okay, no. but we are talking about a specific drug today, and your contribution on that is, comma.
I wouldn't do any of these drugs. But and now the caller before that, I believe she was a professor.
Yep, chemistry.
And she was
professor.
Talking about the pathways.
Yep.
If you go to the Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, who's a preeminent cellular biologist, I believe it's page 74. You'll see the myriad of interactions of proteins. From one, you can just alter like one protein by putting a drug in, and it's mind-boggling what it does.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very important point. This business of the drug interactions. Hey, Ron, we're trying to get to everybody. We thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Good program.
Thanks a lot. Right, bye. Let's go to Ellen in Florida. Okay, Ellen in Florida, you're on.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Are you on the beach?
No, I'm actually up in Saratoga Springs taking the water.
Sounds like there's wind blowing. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm in the car. Yeah. And I am a PhD RN. I've written many books, and one of the books is called The Natural Guide to Great Sex.
Well, and The Natural Guide to Great Sex, I want to make sure that we get your name, Ellen, in Florida, and that Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our wonderful producer, can call on you to help us out in future programs. But go ahead, Ellen.
Yes, so I am really impressed and thrilled by the correct evidence-based answers every single one of your callers has given. Not one person seemed to approve of this, and they are correct. There are so many natural things that have thousands of years of traditional use, as well as scientific evidence behind the fact that they can be useful as libido support for women.
So for example, Ellen, go ahead, give us a couple.
Okay, there are specific herbs that we could look at. For instance, maca, that's M-A-C-A. Mm-hmm. Another herb would be Muira Poama. And then, of course, as other callers have talked about, stress-reducing techniques such as yoga, prayer, even the Kegel exercise, using various lubricants. There's so many things that really have very little, if no, downside. So why would we experiment with a drug that the risk-benefit ratio is definitely negative?
Got me. But very, very good point. Now, Ellen, what's the name of the book again?
I've written many, but that particular book is called The Natural Guide to Great Sex.
And who's the publisher?
I've published so many books.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Okay, well, Ellen, you stay on because I hope, I'll tell you what, send me an email with all of the information because I'm sure we're going to want to use you, okay?
Okay, so give me the email.
Alan, A-L-A-N, at WAMC.org.
Okay, I will do.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, And we'll go to Carl in Hunter. Carl in Hunter, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Sure.
About 10 years ago, I lost my license to practice architecture in New York City as a result of a misdiagnosis of a depression. I went to my general practitioner, and within a 10-minute interview, he decided that I needed antidepressants. Well, after 10 or 15 years of therapy, I was diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. I've since learned to cope with that biologically and naturally. And I'm actually at the state of my life now where I'm looking to go back and have my license reinstated and continue my practice. I'm probably going to end up having to contact an attorney with the ACLU or something to lobby for me for that. But it's very dangerous to prescribe an antidepressant to someone who has a bipolar condition because it puts them in a hypermanic state. And all of your callers today have been spot on.
Well, Carl, I thank you for your call, and I thank you for your warning. Appreciate it.
Very well. Thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. Two free phones right now. We'll go to Paula in Woodstock. Paula, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for doing this when you were left without anyone and an expert to be on hand.
Yeah, but I got you. And look at all the experts who are calling in. It's great. Go ahead.
Part of my comment. I've learned so much, especially that first caller who was amazing. But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to mention a couple things. I agree that this sounds like it's not healthy to take. But I do want to point out that I do think something is needed. And the reason I wanted to point out is this anecdote. I lived in the St. Louis in the mid-70s, and I had a friend whose best friend, male, wife suddenly became frigid, and his sex life was ruined, and he was a singer, and he couldn't sing, and all kinds of things, and he went to Masters and Johnson, because Masters and Johnson is right in St. Louis.
Interesting.
And when I think back to what this man went through, and then I think of friends of mine that maybe don't have the best situation in terms of their sexual life,
right.
It's very important that there's Viagra for men, which also has bad side effects, and that something does get developed for women. But anyway, that's basically what I wanted to say.
But of course, you know, it's so interesting what you've said, Paula, because we've been talking about, you know, basically physical properties today. You know, you take the pill and your libido is restored or enhanced. But of course, in our sociology, there are reasons that, quote, people go frigid or, as you just said, or something happens that are really not either chemically or medication related. And I think that's pretty important, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if I can have one more minute,
you can.
Say something else about this kind of drug. I remember in the, 80s and 90s, everybody I knew, just about my mother, my sisters, all kinds of people were taking hormone replacement therapy.
Sure.
And that I had a doctor recommend it, and I said, no, thank you very much. And I'm really glad I did say no thank you. Because then later on, there were all these bad side effects that came out.
Yeah, Roselle did too, my wife. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much, Paula. Okay.
Well, goodbye.
Bye. And we'll go to, first I'll point out that there are two free phones. We'll go to Brenda in Catskill. Brenda, go.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. This program is excellent. I appreciate the fact that it's open but dialogue to a certain problem that was ignored and kind of put that like a gone frigid, you know, as someone on the other end. I would be someone who would need to take the medication. And I'll tell you, a sex life is not just about the act of intercourse, a sex life in a relationship, in a marriage, when a woman loses her ability, it destroys families. So it is nice that you can now talk to a doctor. When you would mention this, Ms. rolled his eyes and couldn't say much to you about it. It's nice that perhaps there are other options being put on the table, that a dialogue is being opened up. I do maybe would not take this medication, but it is something I would definitely look into for something that could help out my life.
And what about the people who called before and mentioned some of the alternatives to taking what is basically, in terms of a large population, a tested drug? In other words, lubricants and other things like that.
Yeah. There's an issue that's not being understood where it's not about the actual the physical moment of that sex act. The lubricant in the mind. If a woman can do, of course, a woman doesn't have to get an erection to have sex, or she just has to lay there, right? But when you lose it and you can't do that, and that is something that is uncomfortable for you, it is the fact that this dialogue is being brought up would never have been discussed before to this extreme, and bringing up, hey, maybe my doctor would never have mentioned alternatives and he would have tried to prescribe me. This is not something that a mass amount of women should go on. This is not something that doctors should even bring up. It's a particular problem. I mean, do you bring up all the options of medications to every patient of what could be wrong? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to, the drug companies, we heard this on the Beeb this morning, are already signing up their, the drug company is already signing up, you know, those young women and men you see in the doctor's offices with their cases and the rest of it. And there are going to be hundreds of them out there. And the bottom line is the money. Now, they'd say it's not. It's sort of helping people. But
maybe the fact that, you know, this particular medication and what it could cause and the side effects and the commercial, and that I do not buy into the getting the medications and what the pharmaceutical company has done to the medical field. That I totally disagree with. I do not think this is the medication that many women should be on. I don't even know if I would take it myself, even though perhaps it would help. I would be interested in alternative ideas. It's not exactly, you hit the nail on the head before when you said the sociological aspect, because it is not a medical problem. It is something that you might have to see a therapist and a psychiatrist about, and not your primary doctor.
Or even, and I hate
and
to
it's
say,
a family thing.
Yeah, bring your
husband, your partner in and discuss these things and these options. If your husband loves you, he's not going to want you to take a medication that will hurt you in the long run to have this sex life.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
I do appreciate it. And I thank you for having my side of the view.
Well, I'm glad you said it. That's what this program is all about. Thank you very much.
Good day to everyone.
Right, bye.
Thank you.
Now we have three free phones open. Amazing. That's the first time in this program. 1-800-348-2551. Let's talk to Victoria in New York. Okay, Victoria, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for this show. I have a question here. I'm thinking the analogy is wrong.
Okay.
Because the male Viagra supposedly increases a male's potency, ability. But as far as I understand, and I did turn into the program a little late, this increases a woman's desire, right?
Well, if you say so, I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
One is more physiological in that it pumps a certain amount of blood to the male testicle. I think that's the way that it works. The other goes to the brain.
Right.
So there are real differences here.
Yeah.
Of course, the Viagra has been tested millions of times over. This hasn't. We had one serious phone call here about antidepressants, which this started out as, if you remember.
Very interesting
call. Very.
This is what I think is an aphrodisiac, isn't it? Like a Spanish fly or something.
Yeah.
That's what annoys me. I think it's like, I believe you totally follow the money. I think also follow what, I'm sorry if you're a man, but what the male population wants.
Well, see, now I think you're getting into something here which is really important.
Well,
because, you know, I mean, in the 10th grade, my professor, Dr. Sidney B. Simon, had us all read a book called The American Sexual Tragedy. It was fascinating. Now, 10th grade was a long time ago for me, but I never forgot it, because this guy, Albert Ellis, his thesis was that American males are trained to go after it and to be on the make, basically.
Uh-huh.
And that females are trained to advertise it, but not to do it.
Exactly.
Now,
even today,
sure. So that you have to fit this whole thing into that equation, assuming that it's true for some. Now, we had Women's Lib, and we had all those things that came along after I read that book. On the other hand, it still is something that that is unequal in terms of male and female sexual behavior, don't you think?
I think so. I've never heard of Viagra, for instance. It helps a man get an erection, and that's what he needs from his side of the equation. But it's not necessarily what a woman needs. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Victoria, I do know what you're saying.
Okay.
I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. We're going to take a short break. We have two free...
Support for WAMC comes from Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce, offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. Schenectady County Historical Society, featuring museum and research library in the heart of Schenectady Stockade, with interactive exhibits, talks, walking tours, and upcoming bus trip to Old Sturbridge Village on September 12th, SchenectadyHistorical.org. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home, 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home, supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, interimhealthcare.com. And Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park, fishing on their 44 lakes, camping, hiking, biking, boating, and summer events, 44 lakes, 44 choices, 44lakes.com.
1-800-348-2551. We're coming around the horn. We have only, you know, this is the last third of the show. We heard from Jay by email, who said, I volunteered at the women's clinic when I was a student, and women, particularly older women, always mention the lack of passion in their relationships. I'm not saying this isn't an actual medical condition, but most women need more to be ready. Whatever, you'd have to read that sentence several times, but most women need more to be ready. And we heard from Rob, who says Viagra is a drug which restores normal function lost due to age, medication, or illness. The subject drug appears to alter mood. How about a couple of glasses of wine? I'm concerned it was approved because of fear of feminist critics. I will be amused when the same critics condemn the FDA for approving it too soon. And thank you for those. So let's get back to the phones. We're going to go as fast as we can here. Let's go to Nancy in Belchertown. Nancy.
Hi. I have to take an opposite position for a moment. I'm not a big fan of Big Pharma because of the cost that's involved. There are some old drugs for depression, diabetes, and they're still beyond the reach of many, many people.
Okay.
And I can't think of a reason for that. But I have to say that when it comes to medicines that will help with your mood and quality of life, they shouldn't be dismissed so quickly. I have read and listened respectfully to the people who talk about brain chemistry, and that's all well and good, but if you can't deal with your life and you end up, let's say, taking your life, I would say that that's a lot worse than having your brain chemistry be altered.
Well, let me say something. I couldn't agree with you more. I've known many people who have benefited extraordinarily from these drugs. At least what I can see, they've benefited because there was a certain hopelessness that doesn't exist anymore. So you make a very good point, Nancy. Thanks for making it. Okay, let's go to Bob in Great Barrington. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Hey. I have an alternate therapy. After my wife entered menopause, friends of ours for our anniversary gave us a gift of a copy of the Karma Sutra.
Ah.
And I agree with a lot of the callers that the pharmaceutical could be good for some people, but I would not like to see it, you know, just proliferated out there for everyone as an easy solution. It's all about an intimate relationship, and there's a lot more to a sexual relation than the act of sex itself.
Mm.
And so this has been very beneficial for our mature relationship.
Well, thank you so much for it. Now, just let's get back to the Karma Sutra one more time. I'm not quite sure what you're telling us. People should read it. Is that what you're saying, or what?
Yes, it's a very good handbook to sexual relations, and there are many, many, many different ways of satisfying each other, rather than just intercourse. And it's a very intimate guidebook on various ways of pleasing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And really helped us create a wonderful, sensual, mature relationship in our marriage of almost 25 years.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for making this call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Hildegard in Beckett. Hildegard, you're on.
Yes. Before I go into the personals about myself, I would like to advocate that everyone read Worst Pills, Best Pills. Now, this is not just gynecology. Worst Pills, Best Pills sat on the desk of most physicians for many years. And you can't imagine, unless you read the book, by the way, my dad was a physician, and I have two pathology books and the Merck Manual and all that jazz, but you can't imagine how many of the pills you are now taking. I'm not talking about for mood or for sexual enhancement, have affected you until you read that book.
Okay, you made that point, and since we were really sort of running out of time, what's your story that you want to tell us?
My story is that I have no GP, and I won't for the next 2,000 years, and I don't go to a gynecologist, and I have normal issues of drying that I handle myself with the right, if I have... It isn't the right pawn. It's the right relationship. If people know how to deal with one another, unless, of course, someone's had prostate cancer or has diabetes.
Or how about the case of women who have serious gynecological disease? If you never go to a gynecologist or a GP,
no,
how are you going to find out?
I'm not saying most people should not go to a gynecologist.
Okay.
My dad said doctors bury their mistakes. He didn't go to a doctor until he had a stroke in his 90s, and he lived to 106.
Who are we talking about now? I'm sorry.
My father was a physician.
Oh,
I am 75, and I never, with most women my age, you know, this is like they forgot about it. I never stopped. So I'm just trying to add some colorful things to your program, and avowedly the specific people you're talking about need certain things.
Yeah. Okay, Hildegard, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Yeah, you
bye
too.
Bye.
Let's go to Ryan in Troy. Ryan, you're on.
Hi there, Alan. I'm going to be quick because I know it's coming to the end of the program. I just want to say I think there's a very huge difference between a physiological pill that a man can take to make him have a certain reaction as opposed to, I mean, he's going to have that reaction if he takes this pill, regardless of whether he's in the mood or turned on or whatever, versus a psychological drug. I mean, even Chantix, which they only prescribe for quitting smoking, can make people have suicidal and violent thoughts. I mean, I think in coordination with the right therapist and the right doctor and good contact, it can be safe, but I mean, psychological drugs have side effects, and sometimes negative ones.
Yeah. Yeah, you make some very good points there. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Lewis in Woodstock. Hello, Lewis. Welcome back.
Okay, thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful moderator. I'm going to throw in my two cents. It's not a Spanish fly. There is nothing like that. And if people... which, of course, the pharmaceutical people are going to try to pump all the information, Spanish fly, turn the woman on. No, it's not. The woman basically wants it, and she can have it. And hopefully the husbands won't be crushing it up and giving it to their wives thinking, oh, now they can get some.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, thank you. Okay, let's go to Mark in Del Mar. And by the way, folks, we have four free phones right now, and we still have quite a bit of time, about 10 minutes. So get on that phone. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I beg you. 1-800-348-2551. Go. Okay. Mark in Del Mar, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to bring up the point that, I mean, when I was 14, I was prescribed SSRIs for depression.
Mark, we're having a little difficulty hearing you. Could you make sure your face is close to the receiver there? Go ahead.
Sure. You got me?
Much better. Much better.
Okay. I was prescribed SSRIs at 14 for depression. And it actually disrupted my life worse than the supposed depression I was diagnosed with. that killed any kind of sexual drive, which at 14 is very uncommon. And, you know, I eventually stopped taking it and changed my diet. I got off the computer more and started being outside more. And it, you know, lo and behold, my depression went away. And I think, you know, when you talk about sexual dysfunction, especially in older people, it's better to look at, you know, the way people live and their lifestyles and, you know, what their eating habits are and, you know, how much TV they watch before you start prescribing mind-altering drugs.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's certainly right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
Right. And we'll go to John in Kingston. Now we have four free phones, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to John in Kingston. John, you're on.
Good afternoon, doctor. You are not alone.
No, thank you for that.
I'm teasing you. It's been a great show, and I've learned a lot. And interesting, to say the least, people you have, it's just great.
People have been terrific today, haven't they? I mean, we've really had some wonderful callers who have really educated us. But go ahead.
No, you took the words out of my mouth. Onward, sir. Excelsior.
And to you, sir. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Now, you see, here's the problem. Our wonderful call screener, Bruce Herbeck, hasn't been absolutely able to keep up. So I don't know whether or not the next call is going to be extraordinary. Okay, we'll go to Bill in Manchester. All right, Bill in Manchester, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to make a quick comment about PTSD and serotonin and dopamine.
Yep.
There's been studies done that have shown that people who have PTSD, if they have sufficient levels of serotonin and dopamine, they recover quicker and they're able to overcome trauma over time a lot faster than those who lack.
No, I get it. I get it. You're exactly right. There are physicians who will prescribe this stuff to say, this is to get you through it. And I know people who it really has worked with, and you make a very important and good point. Thank you.
I wasn't going to go the pharmaceutical route, though. There's alternative things that can be just as helpful and stuff. And I guess we as a society, I just want to say, need to stop treating mental things like they don't exist. Like if you have a broken leg, people see it and they have to
pity on you. Yeah, you make a very good point. You know, I do an hour of exercise every morning. And in the rare occasion when I can't do that hour of aerobic exercise, boy, do I feel it. So you are so right. There are lots of things you can do. And it's and you make a very good point. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're down to the last caller. We can still get you in. Let's go to Franco in Long Beach Island. Okay, Franco.
Hey, Dr. Shantak. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, if you have a good relationship with your primary care physician, i.e. your prescriber, you know, I acknowledge that I personally wouldn't want to take a medication that manipulated my brain chemistry if I had the option of seeing a therapist. However, if you work three jobs and don't seem to have an alternative, I'd appreciate, having the choice to make. If you have a good relationship with your prescriber and they can monitor you for side effects, this may be a useful alternative.
And that's true, of course, Franco, with virtually every drug, right? I mean, you know, there's no question. You make a very good point. We don't want to dismiss all drugs and say all drugs are bad.
I hope everybody's aware that there are people out there that may not have access to these better alternatives. I mean, they would be taking the medication, I would think, because the other alternatives haven't worked for them and they don't want to give up.
Absolutely. You know, when people are in pain or when people are dysfunctional, in so many ways, you know, we're ahead. People are living to 80 years old today who used to live to 40. People live longer than their parents most of the time for good reason. And that's because we have drugs. On the other hand, I think that the warnings that we've been given today are substantial. And if you don't have to take it, you shouldn't take it. Right, Franco?
You should only take a drug if you have a good relationship with your prescribing physician.
Gotcha. Thank you for
That's my point.
Right. Good point. Yep. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Gary in Westfield. Okay, Gary, you're on. Go ahead.
Alan, I don't know if you can hear me, but
I can.
This is the question to the audience as well as the researchers. If you replace that drug with a placebo and still advertise it as a female hormonal Spanish fly, I wonder if you would get the same results.
Well, it's a very interesting question, and I'm sure they do that. I'm sure that's part of the testing procedure that all these drugs have to go through. The well-known placebo effect. In some cases, I've read studies where the placebo outperforms the drug.
Exactly.
Okay.
You really never know. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks a lot. Right. 1-800-348-2551. We're really running out of time now, so if you want to get in on it, this is a good time to get in on it. And we'll go to Ray, I guess it is, in Woodstock. Oh, Ray, is it Ray?
Raymond, yes,
yeah,
Ray.
Okay, go ahead, Raymond.
I just wanted to point out that one of the hurdles for a pharmaceutical to clear the FDA approval process is that it has to beat the placebo in at least 50% of the time.
Uh-huh.
And more than 50% of the drugs do not do that. And I think that's an interesting comment on the pharmaceutical industry. When it's something they can treat, then you may be really lucky to have a pharmaceutical. But you do have to think carefully about these things.
Sure. Look, there. To this day, you know, I take provostatins at night, and I have for a long time. I see some doctors who say that's going to kill you. So,
yeah.
There are decisions to be made by each of us, right? I mean, they're not easy decisions. That's what, right?
I think the old saying, "Food is medicine," is a real great thing to go by.
Oh well, I think that's true. I think that's true. That's why we eat our kale, even if we hate it. Okay. Thank you very. Thanks very much. All right. Well, I'm going to take a chance. No, I'm not taking a chance. Okay. I got to have the screener come first. 1-800-348-2551. We are just about out of time. I'm so sorry. We could have probably gotten somebody else in, and we can't right now. So let's put it this way. We're just about out of time. Thanks, everybody. Support, and I really thank you because I was a little nervous about the show. Support for Vox Pop comes from Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant, and Raw Bar, realseafoodco.com, and Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com, and SPAC, presenting the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center for 6 performances through August 25th at the Spa Little Theater, SPAC.org, for tickets. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbeck. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall, who works so hard today. I'm Alan Chartok, and thank you all again. Stay tuned now for a news update.